Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are on the phone this afternoon with Bishop Danny Yohannan. He is the Vice President of Gospel for Asia. Danny, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we so much appreciate all that you're doing. Want to remind our listeners as we're going through this conversation today that you can also go to our website at knkt.com, click on COVID Crisis Response, and you will be taken right to the Gospel for Asia's COVID Crisis Response Campaign. And you have some really devastating things that have been happening to the folks in Kerala, in South Asia, South India. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in that country.
You know, well, in the southern part of India, which is a small state on the kind of southern west coast, is called Kerala. It's the same place where Thomas, the disciple of Christ, came in AD 52. So there's a quite a significant history of Christianity there, 2,000 years of Christian history. And yet at the same time, there are millions of people who are still waiting to hear about Christ's name for the very first time. And that's, you know, what Gospel for Asia's heart and passion is. One of the things that's happened over the, you know, many months that all of us have been trying to deal with this COVID-19 situation is, you know, many of the countries and states and different places, even like us here, you know, decisions were made to lock down things and to be careful. And recently, Kerala has kind of opened up more, and so more people are traveling in. You know, people are traveling across borders in the states that are there, and there's just this huge spike in cases. There just seems to be, you know, almost every single day the cases are doubling. But what's most devastating is not, you know, the number of cases in terms of death due to COVID-19 is not as significant as other issues within the country. Probably the most significant impact of COVID-19 in Kerala and other places is starvation. And that may sound strange, but this is the reality. Like in the city of Mumbai, what used to be called Bombay, you literally have, you know, millions of people that are usually on the streets every single day, and there's you know, so many you know, men, women, and children who are barely just trying to get by with begging or asking for anything of help. And because of the lockdown, there is no one to beg from. Migrant workers who work for daily wages, and that's how they provide for themselves and for their families and for their loved ones, have no work. And so literally millions of them are on the move trying to just get back home to be with their families. And so you have this massive problem that's quite unique to some of these South Asian countries like Sri Lanka, Myanmar, India, and Nepal, where people are struggling for food and dealing with starvation rather than just the issue of being sick and trying to overcome. You know, I don't know if some of these countries, also, the death rate is not so high. I'm not sure if it's because already their immune system is pretty high dealing with all the, you know, contaminants that are already over there many times. But the reality is people are struggling. And, you know, one of the latest things that I know is an issue even for our country, but you can compound it and to realize how difficult it is schools don't know how to properly open. Whereas, you know, in our country, I mean, my kids for the whole season, they were doing online schooling here with their teachers and things worked out well. But, you know, in places like India, you may have a family that has one cell phone to the entire name of the family. And even if they have a cell phone, they probably don't have internet. And if they have internet, it probably doesn't work half the time. So, you know, schools are really trying to figure out, what do? Do you just not have school for 2 or 3 years and kind of wait till things kind of settle down? So there's really, really difficult compounding issues where, you know, if you have an entire generation, 2 or 3 years that don't get educated and don't graduate, what does that do to the workforce? What does it do to your economy? And so these are challenges that, you know, some of the leaders of these nations have to deal with. I'm very excited that, you know, Gospel for Asia, you know, has been able to, right from the outset, been able to help people as much as possible, with bringing food, hope, and healing to people's lives. Just like in most national disasters where either an earthquake or fire, tsunami, or some kind of, you know, issue that is huge, we're already there because our people are already there. And so when these things happen, we're able to step in right away and to actually bring a lot of help and relief. Some of our parishes, you know, they, without us even realizing what they were doing, we found out later, this one parish was cooking 500 meals a day, one little food packets, and giving it out to people that were on the street starving or migrant workers that were traveling back to their places. And, you know, this is true for thousands of our churches that are on the mission field. They are literally stepping in to help people with food and telling them that it's, you know, because of the love of Christ that they're doing this. And, you know, seeing pictures and stories of just kids who haven't eaten in 2 or 3 or 4 days, just so thankful to get a packet of food that could help them kind of get along the way to where they're going. We ran into one family that was traveling by like a cycle rickshaw, which is kind of a bicycle with a little cart on the back. And this man was, you know, taking his family back home. He had already traveled over 1,200 miles on his bike with his family on the little cart in the back. And so you can see just people are desperate to just find any means of hope. And by God's grace, we have been able to, with the authorities' permission, which is kind of crazy, you know, when everything else is locked down, no one can be on the streets, no shops are open, nothing is available, you know, the local police and local government officials are actually helping us because we're able to provide food and we've got the network and the resources for it, and they're actually helping us to be able to get the food to the people that need it the most. And so God's given us a lot of favor and a lot of grace during this time where you literally have millions of people that are struggling and starving and in need of some sense of stability and hope. And I praise God that we've been able to give out literally tens of thousands of packets of food and to be able to help literally thousands and thousands of these migrant workers that are on the way. Now, in terms of numbers, you have millions of people on the move. You have a billion people in India. In other places, you know, like Sri Lanka and Myanmar and Nepal with so many others. But, you know, I take the words of what Mother Teresa said, you know, summarizing what she said, if you can't feed the thousand, at least feed the one. And this is true. Sometimes we can get so overwhelmed with the need that we don't do anything. But whatever we can do to help one person can make a huge difference in that person's life. And so, you know, I'm grateful that God has positioned us in this way to be able to really bring hope and healing and God's love and peace to people's lives, even in this crazy, crazy situation.
We are on the phone this afternoon with Bishop Danny Yohannan. He is the Vice President of Gospel for Asia. Danny, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You were kind of comparing what's going on in America with children going back to school and even mentioned your own children and how that's so drastically different in terms of infrastructure for internet and access via computer and cell phones and all those kind of things. I want to ask you a general question about what do Americans not understand about the third world and South Asia where you're doing this ministry?
I think one of the things that you know, a lot of times us in the West, we don't understand about developing countries or even developed countries that are just not America. I think one, the whole world is not America. I mean, that sounds really ridiculous to say that, but sometimes, you know, we're so oblivious to what is happening around the world. We think that every country is just like ours or should be. And this is important that people actually pay attention to the news, pay attention to the TV. And I know it's hard to kind of filter in that, but, you know, trying to learn about what is happening in other countries, can actually educate us and help us to pray better. Some of the things that we take for granted, is such a simple thing as clean water. We turn on the tap, and there's clean water. Now, granted, I know on the news even today they're talking about you know, Flint and the water situation and all that stuff. I'm not talking about the extreme cases within our country, but generally, you can drink shower water. You can drink water from a tap. It's clean. It's been chlorinated. It's filtered. That doesn't happen in most countries around the world. You're either drinking from a stagnant pond or dirty water from a river or some other places. And that's one of the things, you know, I'm most proud about Gospel for Asia is we put in more clean water projects than anyone else in the entire world. We provide more clean water sand biofilters, I think, than anyone else. I mean, literally tens of thousands of these filters so you can clean out dirty water. But something as simple as clean water, that you don't have to worry that you're going to get sick, you're going to get diarrhea from bacteria and viruses. I think another thing is that what we consider to be, you know, struggling here in our country is in a comparison, luxury compared to some of the situations there. Now, granted, I'm not talking about, you know, that there is no one in need in our country, and people shouldn't take my words to the extreme of that I don't care about anything in this country. We do have people in this country that don't know Christ and are struggling very much. But when you have literally tens of millions of people that are struggling just for daily survival, you have like 100,000 kids typically normally on the streets of Mumbai who don't even know who their parents are. You literally have hundreds of children that are dropped off by their parents on trains that the parents don't know what to do with the kids because they can't take care of them. They're afraid that they're going to starve to death. So they just sit them on a train, and the train ends up stopping in Delhi, the last station. So you have to pick up these kids before the gangs pick them up. And so, you know, we have a boys' home and a girls' home to actually help and assist in these kids, these runaway kids, and trying to bring them back to their families. Simple things like that, you know, where you know, I remember growing up on the mission field in my dad's village, and you know, half the week the electricity would go off. I mean, that was a normal thing. You know, we only have that if, you know, crazy storms come through here. You know, another thing is I remember growing up and we had an open well out in the back, and we had to get the water and with a bucket and filter it through a towel to filter out all the mosquito larvae, and then we had to boil it and filter it. And now they're drinking water. I mean, just the process of going through just to get water for bathing and cleaning. These are simple things that, you know, we might complain that our internet goes out a little bit, but we don't realize that people on this side of the world, they're just trying to survive daily with some sort of, you know, food and water and just trying to get by. And, you know, heartbreaking, and this is an extreme story, so people shouldn't think that this is happening every single day, but there was a report during this COVID situation where this mother could not handle anymore watching her five kids starve, so she actually drowned them in the river, her little kids, because she couldn't handle it anymore. And so this, you know, that happens once in a while where these parents go into despair. During this time, There's usually, you know, lots of farmers that are committing suicide because of drought. There's no one to plant. There's no one to harvest. There's no one to buy their means. And so, I mean, I'm excited. Like this coming Saturday, I'm very excited that, you know, President Trump, when he signed the order for the USDA to purchase the food so that the farmers don't have to toss the food, you know, because of regulations, Gospel for Asia here in Willis Point, we're actually one of the distribution points. And last month, we gave about 1,200 boxes away. We're hoping to do about 1,500 boxes this you know, next Saturday. I mean, that's awesome. Where in the world do you actually have people making provision for free food to be given to people who are in need? That doesn't happen in India. I mean, if the farmers can't sell the product, they starve to death. And there's literally hundreds of farmers that commit suicide every single year in India. And so I say all that, not that we should ever feel bad about it or feel guilty that God has blessed us or that we are in this country, but we must see this as an opportunity to have our hearts broken for the things that break God's heart and to at least engage in prayer. Too many times we hear things and it's informational. We're so used to our Christian life being informational. We go to church, it's information. We kind of file it away, and it doesn't really impact us. And when we hear things that are happening in India, Nepal, Burma, or these other places, we hear people are starving to death and mothers are drowning their babies, and what a horrible thing, and yet our heart doesn't break, then something's wrong with us. And it must be that we pray that God would break our heart with the things that break His heart, and then that would help us to engage in prayer. You know, my challenge is this, that every family, every individual should have at least 15 minutes a week that they set aside for prayer. The average Christian, when a study was done years ago, only prays about three minutes a day. And we kind of wonder why our Christian life is so weak, in a sense, without power from God to, you know, overcome or to push forward as witnesses for Christ. And so if people can take 15 minutes a day, that's 15 minutes a week, and just pray for missions. And so use your television, your radio, your internet, your newspaper, this website, as sources of prayer requests. I mean, people can go to gfa.org and get, you know, 10,000 prayer requests to be praying for. I would challenge every single church this Sunday to take 5 minutes out of the service, just 5 minutes, and pray for what's happening in India. Pray for what's happening in Burma. Pray for what's happening around the world. Pray for the starving millions. And let our hearts engage in that way. And so I think the greatest comparison is probably that it's very easy to take things for granted here and to forget that the world is not as we see it. And a lot of times we don't realize that God's heart breaks for those people also. And if our hearts can break, at least we can engage in prayer. That's a great beginning. That's a great start.
We are visiting with Bishop Danny Yohannan, Gospel for Asia's vice president. And we're talking about Gospel for Asia's COVID crisis response campaign. And that really comes down to one central focus right now. Even though Gospel for Asia provides a lot of ministry, the need for food right now is almost unexplainable, almost unfathomable. The folks are really in dire need. And Bishop Danny, I want you to talk about, as people give, and people can give by going to knkt.com. Let me say that one more time, knkt.com, and click on COVID crisis response. And as soon as you go there, you'll be actually taken to the Gospel for Asia website, and you'll see all the wonderful things that they're doing in many countries. Danny, when somebody gives money, that really is a very efficient way for them to help these people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's you know, three different things that people can do practically. I already mentioned the first one, which is pray. And I say there's three things because a lot of times someone listening goes, well, I don't fit in that category. I don't have a lot of money. Well, you can pray, and you can tell other people. I think the second thing is definitely that people can spread the news. There's so much like rhetoric and craziness on the internet and on social media. Use it for good. Use it to call people to pray and to intercede for millions of people who are still waiting to hear that Christ loves them. And third, practically, like you said, is people can give. And this is something that, you know, God has given us the privilege to be able to step in the gap and to be able to make it possible for people to experience Christ's love in a tangible, practical way. And it is true, one of the best and most practical and most effective ways that people can help is to help Gospel for Asia with finances so that we can in turn help these people who are in great need. Because it's, you know, it's like I said, you know, we're already there, so it's the ongoing work that's happening. We're not waiting for someone to say, hey, okay, you're ready, set, go. We've been doing this, and we will continue to do this. And, you know, after everyone left after, you know, tsunami relief and the news cycle ends after 2 weeks, we were still there for years, helping people clean out their wells and helping people to get back on their feet. And so this is what we do. We're there. You know, our work is there. Our churches are there. Our people are there. We're not going anywhere. And so we're there to help and to bring Christ's love. And so just like you said, if people go to that link that you mentioned, it'll take them to, you know, the GFA COVID-19 relief page, and they can learn about what God is doing through Gospel for Asia, and then jump on board and engage your heart with those things. And, you know, don't let it just be you. If you have kids and grandkids, this is a great opportunity to teach them what does it mean to recognize, you know, around the world that there is a need for people to be helped, but also for people to know about Christ. And this is a great lesson that doesn't come around every you know, but so often, and we can really use it to pass on the faith to our kids and our grandkids in a very significant, tangible way.
You know, as you're talking about that, Danny, I have a vision that parents ought to have their children do some giving to Gospel for Asia and have their kids develop those habits of being involved and knowing they're supporting children in another country who they can't even see, but they know that what they're doing is helping.
No, exactly. I think one of the things that has, you know, kind of been lost, you know, in our modern faith is the idea of of taking time to fast and pray, but then while we are fasting from something, we are actually giving to something. Fasting and prayer always went with almsgiving. That's how it's always been from the very beginnings that you even see in the book of Acts, that people shared all things together. And this is something that is extremely significant and important. We cannot abandon the responsibility of our children and our grandchildren to Sunday school teachers and expect our Sunday school teachers to do some kind of magic half an hour a week with our kids when they don't see it happening at home. The kids need to see the parents heartbroken at home and praying. The kids need to see that world map on the wall and paying attention to not just the political news, which is important right now, but paying attention to what's happening around the world, the crises that are happening around the world, and then the family coming together for prayer, maybe the family skipping one time going out for a meal outside and just having, you know, cereal or sandwiches at home, and then using those resources to be able to give towards needs like this COVID relief. Maybe it means just waiting till the movie comes out on video rather than going to the theater. It's simple things, but those simple things will make a lifelong impact on kids' lives. Kids are not going to copy because they were told. They're going to copy because they've seen and they were part of. And the Christian faith is not a faith of passing on intellectual information. It's a faith that is gleaned. It is rubbed off on. It is through osmosis. It's where you are in proximity and it rubs off on you and you become like the person that you're hanging out with. That is how we pass on the faith. And if they see it, and they smell it, and they touch it and taste it, then it will rub off on them. That's what they need to have at home. And this is a perfect opportunity. And I tell, you know, parents and grandparents, you know, during our Christmas campaign, don't just, you know, purchase those animals, those goats and chickens. Get your kids to help because they need to be part of it. Pass on the faith that way. And so you can leave a legacy knowing that they'll carry on this love for people that Christ demonstrated while he was here on earth.
And Danny, you're really doing the same thing. In addition to teaching us and training us and encouraging us now, you're doing the same thing in South Asia. You're sponsoring national missionaries. You're planting churches. You're teaching the people about Jesus throughout the country. You're sponsoring children. You have a Jesus Well project. We've talked many times about the animals that you provide. And every Christmas, I know we do a little critter campaign with Gospel for Asia that raises a lot of money, where if a family gets a goat, that's like having a prime source of income and food for the whole family. Just amazing things. And then on top of that, you're developing communities, you're working with people that are unbelievers and some believers, but you're just loving people right where they are in their situation and trying to meet their needs.
No, exactly. This is the example that we see from Christ. And, you know, and I think there's two missing aspects when people think of missions in history. Typically, missions have been, you know, people from the outside come in and preach at the people and tell them how bad they are. And what, you know, what we see scripturally and historically is incarnational mission, which is those people who actually are there, living there, and becoming part of the life and part of the community and transforming that community from the inside out and bringing Christ's love tangibly and practically, not just preaching at them, but doing what you can to sacrifice yourself for them, but then to see a local worship established, a church established, that they can be rooted in the faith and Scripture and the sacraments and be able to experience God's grace and his power in their life, then you actually have the complete circle. And that's what Gospel for Asia has done.
Bishop Danny Yohannan, he is the Vice President of Gospel for Asia, the son of the founder K.P. Yohannan. And Gospel Asia has been doing amazing work since 1979. Danny, I wanted to ask you about some specifics. You're doing a lot of things in the country. You've been building communities. You're training and sponsoring missionaries and pastors and planting churches. You're building Jesus Wells. You talked about the importance of clean water and kind of review for us, if you would, all the different things that you are doing in Asia right now to love people and introduce them to Jesus.
Yeah, I think if people were to, you know, boil down what Gospel for Asia's heart is, this, it's to know Christ and to make him known. And I start off with that because it's easy just to jump into all the projects and numbers that we do. But, you know, here at Gospel for Asia's headquarters, in Will's Point, our community here, our staff, our families, you know, we meet multiple times a week for prayer. We stop three times a day for prayer, 8:45, 11:45, and 3:45, classically, historically, the time that Christ was arrested, crucified, and then he died, and of course he rose again. Engaging our life in knowing Christ more and more, but then that spurs us on in that love for Christ to see that others around the world would need to know him. And so, I start off that way because that's the heart of everyone that serves, in the ministry, whether it's here or on the mission field or in the churches. It is to know Christ and to make him known. And that should always be our first priority, not that the need is first or just we got to do the work first, but it's Christ first, and then that drives us to lovingly, worshipfully, and prayerfully to do all that we can to bring Christ's love to others. Now, in terms of some of the practical things that God has allowed us to be able to do, I would say probably one of the greatest and most effective is water. We have been able to put literally tens of thousands of clean water projects in some of the most needy areas. And, I mentioned it before, but when you think about this, for many in these villages, they have to walk sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 miles away to get clean water. Sounds crazy, but there is no running water in these areas. You might have a dirty pond that you're bathing in and you're cleaning your animals in and you're cleaning your dishes in and cleaning, washing your clothes in. So it's just like dirty and stagnant and nasty. And so to actually get like something that you can drink with, you have to walk far away. So who are the ones that typically walk and go get the water? It's the women and the girls. And so by just default of these girls going back and forth for hours a day, miles away to get water, it prevents them from going to school. So you automatically have a knock in terms of the education of women because of a lack of clean water in a village. Now, these women and these girls walking off into these remote areas, you endanger them from animals or being kidnapped or the sex trade. And so there's all kinds of things that you immediately fix by just bringing clean water.
We are with Bishop Danny Yohannan. He is the Vice President of Gospel for Asia, and we've been going over the COVID crisis response in Kerala, which is in South India. Just a devastating time, increase in COVID. But Danny, as you said earlier in the program, right now, COVID and the deaths from that, even though they are tragic around the world, that's not the primary thing that may decimate that country. It's really starvation. So I wanted to mention that of all the things that you're doing, you are doing a lot through Gospel for Asia to teach people to sustain their own living, how to make a living and grow food and take care of animals. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, one of the most exciting things that, Gospel for Asia is part of and that God has really, allowed us to be part of in people's lives in terms of impacting communities is the sustainable gifts or the gifts that help break the cycle of poverty. You have items like, goats and chickens and buffaloes and, of course, other items like sewing machines that are not necessarily animals. A lot of these people, they know how to take care of animals. They know how to grow things. They just don't have the means. They don't have the resources to be able to invest in those things. For example, all of my uncles are rice farmers. Every single one of them was a rice farmer at one point. And so, when we give gifts like a water buffalo to a family, that's like giving a tractor. That's like giving a brand new tractor to a farmer that can plow his field and use that buffalo to carry things into harvest, and you are bringing something into that family's life that is now a sustainable product that they can either reproduce or they can make a micro business out of it. And so this is one of the most exciting things that literally hundreds of thousands of families are helped every single year through many of these life-sustaining gifts. And so not only do we do, like you said, the crisis relief, and we also do other things like clean water projects. But these incredible gifts and different items to be able to have dignity restored to these families. It's not just a handout. It's something that they can work at and they can sustain and they can be proud of and they can grow it. I remember there was a story of this family that got, just a pair of goats, and that pair of goats multiplied into like 60 goats. I mean, the guy had like a goat farm afterwards, and, goats are flying all over the place. Another young man got a pair of piglets, and he started his own little pig farm. I mean, so it's, chickens and all kinds of things. These are just incredible opportunities, small little gifts. The price of going out for one meal or some of the things that we normally would buy, just cut back a little bit on coffee rather than getting the 16-gallon cup of coffee every day. Just get the 2-gallon cup of coffee, and you can actually see, that it makes a huge impact in people's lives. But, bringing hope and healing to people's lives is more than just telling them that Jesus loves them. It's telling them Jesus loves them and then practically wrapping your arms around them and walking with them and to help them see that their life can be different, and showing them and helping them with the tools that they need. And we see literally hundreds of thousands of people where their lives are completely changed and turned around.
Danny, last question for you this afternoon is, you've mentioned to us in past interviews that we've done with you that the caste system in some of these countries has put people culturally at a very low level. And we are talking about a lot of those people. And Gospel for Asia has come in the love of Christ has shown them that they are just as important as all other people, haven't you?
One of the things that is very, very difficult for us in the West to understand is the caste system, because it's very much entwined in culture and religion. It's not the same thing as what we consider racism in our country or just looking down at someone else. This is very deeply rooted, 3,000 years of thinking a certain way about certain people. But basically, in a small summary, the religious dividing of everyone into different categories. And so if you're on the top of the category, you get all the benefits. If you're on the bottom, too bad. And hopefully in your next lifetime, if you come back, you'll climb up the ladder and be in a better position. But because of this, for example, like you're mentioning, those are the kind of the bottom ranks. They're not even allowed to take water from the common well in the village, because if they do, they're considered to be unclean and they've contaminated that water. And so that's where we come in, and we put it like a clean water project, a Jesus well, and everyone is welcome to take water from there. And so, it's one of those things that only when people see what Christ has done for them, and then they have their mind renewed and they begin to see their life in light of what God says and what the faith says rather than what just society says, it's the same thing for us. You come from a certain background, and it's only by the renewing of your mind by God's power that you can actually change. And same thing in the places that we work in, but we see people's lives are being changed. Literally, we see tens of thousands of people's lives being changed, and it's so exciting. Their eyes are bright. There's hope. There's a future, and it's because of Christ and his love for them.
Danny Yohannan, Vice President of Gospel for Asia, thank you so much for your time today. I want to remind all of our listeners that you can give to the COVID crisis response efforts of Gospel for Asia by going to knkt.com and click on the crisis response photo that you'll see right there. It'll take you right to the Gospel for Asia website. Giving and all of those things are very simple. It'd be amazing to see people start making monthly gifts, small or large, and I know you have people that do both, but any and all your prayers and everything else are so important to this ministry. Danny, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. My privilege.